As every year, we took a look last week at a global issue describing the night of Pesach. The second pre-Pesach shiur is to take a look at one specific phrase within the Haggadah, to be able to understand that phrase a little bit more deeply, and obviously, as well as to get a sense for how each and every phrase also gives us a sense of the mood of the night, of the goals of the night, of how we can transform Lel HaSeder into being a very spiritual and uplifting experience. And as we spoke about last week, each part of the part reflects on the whole. I'd like to take a look at a phrase which is really based on a pasuk in Yechezkel. Right after the Arami Oved, beginning of the Arami Oved Avi section, which is really the key part of the Haggadah, Say Ulaman, let's go out and learn. Till then, it's just the preparation. Who should be taught? To what extent we should teach? When we should start? Yachol Rosh Chodesh. Then the prologue. Mitchilo of Avodah Zarah. We've all had this till now. Is preparing us for the actual Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And the Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim begins with Arami Oved Avi, the Psukim, the farmer says when he brings the Bikurim, the first fruit. And the Baal Haggadah darshins out each phrase of this pasuk, referencing different experiences that the Jews had in the Egypt experience. So in the first pasuk of Arami Oved Avi, there he became a nation. This teaches that the Israelites were distinct there. Next part of the pasuk is great and mighty, as it says, proof text, and B'nai Israel were fruitful, increased, greatly multiplied, became very, very mighty, and the land was filled with them. Varav, and numerous. So when it talks about that Klal Yisrael were numerous, virav, it picks up on a pasuk that uses the word virav as well, describing Klal Yisrael kitzemach hasadeh. I made you as numerous, virav, kitzemach hasadeh, as the plants of the field. And it doesn't end there. It then continues to quote from this pasuk in Yechezkel to describe, well, what were Klal Yisrael like in Egypt? And it describes you grew and developed and became charming, beautiful figure, your hair grown long, but you were naked and bare. And I passed over you and saw you downtrodden in your blood. And I said to you, through your blood you shall live, right? They were mitbosesa b'damayich, they were wallowing in the blood. And Hashem says, b'damayich chayi. And I said to you, through your blood you shall live. B'damayi chayi, that expression, b'damayi chayi, through your blood you shall live, it's repeated twice. For many of us, these psukim are well known, this b'damayi chayi, because it's also said at a bris milah. Why is that so? So this will be part of what we're going to be talking about today. It will become, I think, very clear. Our question, the Baal Haggadah quotes a pasuk from Yechezkel that says that the Almighty sees we are wallowing in our blood, and he declares, "B'damayi chayi, b'damayi chayi, through your blood you shall live. Through your blood you shall live." To what does this double expression refer? Why do I need twice, "B'damayi chayi"? Once would be sufficient. And how are we wallowing in our blood? What blood is this referring to? And further, the word "B'damayi" in your blood is plural. So if you're talking about more than one blood, so that would be sufficient. Why is it necessary to repeat this? What is this blood? What is the message of this blood? What is the message of these psukim for our lives? So we know, and this is source number 3, Rav Asher Weiss on the Haggadah, the Chazal cite this verse as proof that we were redeemed from Egypt in the merit of the two kinds of blood. Rashi explains that when the time had come for Hashem to fulfill his promise to Avraham Avinu, redeem Bnei Yisrael from Egypt, we had no merit by which to be redeemed, which also we need to discuss. They had no merit to be redeemed. They didn't change their name. They didn't change their language. They were careful. We spoke about last week about Lashon Hara. What do you mean they had no merit to be redeemed? They had plenty of merit. We'll have to get back to this. Hashem commanded us to perform the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach and Bris Milah to provide us with the merits by which to be redeemed. And again, remember the Korban Pesach, the blood was put on the doorpost, Bris Milah is also blood. B'damayi chayi, b'damayi chayi means that we will be redeemed through these mitzvahs having to do with blood. That was our ticket to freedom. Upon closer inspection, we find that there are actually four kinds of blood mentioned in this verse. The word damayach is a plural form of the word meaning your bloods, and appears twice in this verse. In your bloods you shall live, in your bloods you shall live. What are these bloods referring to? So, the structure of Mirat Hashem that we are going to use today is the following. We're going to look at this first on a global, communal level, looking at it as Am Yisrael. What do these bloods refer to? We're going to look at two ideas that really go hand in hand. Then we're going to segue into a middle idea, which is both about the community that will segue us into the individual. We're going to look at these bloods on the individual level. What is this about? And then we're going to come back and take a look at this both from the communal and the individual, and to see a very, very powerful message for our lives. So if that didn't make any sense to you, then hold on tight. Let's look at it first on the communal level. When we look at this verse in context, it appears that both the blood of the Korban Pesach and Bismillah are both referred to in the second half of the verse. The first half refers to a different form of blood entirely. It refers to the Jewish blood that has been spilled throughout our history. The verses that lead up to this verse express the hardships that the Jewish people endure, where compared to a baby who was born with no one to tend to its basic needs. That I passed before you and saw you wallowing in your blood is a reference to, like, this baby who's just being born, who's like no one to take care of it. The expression "by your blood you shall live" is repeated to include the two forms of blood by which the Jewish people are known. The first is the blood of our hardship and affliction. The second is the blood of our noble mission in this world, the blood of the Korbanos and Bris Milah. B'damayichayi are two aspects of the Jewish calling. One is the aspect of that the Jews are always going to be the scapegoat. They're always going to be the one lamb among the 70 wolves, and that is going to entail torture and hardship. The second is our mission in this world, which is reflected in the Korban Pesach and Bris Milah. Rav Asher Vayis Shlita continues, "It is the unfathomable will of the Creator that His beloved children must endure persecution, harsh decrees, and exile." We don't understand it. This is part of the system. You're right. We have a lot of questions. Our destiny in this world is one of bloodshed, which at times cannot be escaped by any means. During the Holocaust, the pious and righteous were slaughtered together with their heretics. There was no distinction that was made. Aside, no person can escape the destiny that was chosen for his nation by the Creator and Conductor of this world. And that's the key. Kadosh Baruch Hu is conducting this world. Lam Natzeach. There's a greater conductor here than we understand. Aside from the suffering the Jewish people endure, we are distinguished by another characteristic, our sense of purpose in this world, our fine character traits, and our loyal adherence to Torah mitzvot, symbolized by the blood of the Korban Pesach and the Bris Milah. And it's interesting, he says, that when you take a look, that both of these ideas are hinted at in the Mishkan, which is the idea that the central beam, the central support beam of the Mishkan, the Briach HaTichon, there's different midrashim of what it was made from. Some people say it was made from the staff that Yaakov Avinu used when he went running away from Esav to Lavan's house. And some people say that was the Daskanim, and the Tarm Yonasan says it was made from the tree of Avraham Avinu that he used in his orchard for hospitality to bring in guests. Yaakov's staff represents the destiny of Bnei Israel. His children must endure affliction in their exile. Just as he was forced into exile, penniless and persecuted, owning nothing but the staff that he held. Avram's tree represents the purpose and unique mission of Bnei Israel. It represents Avraham Avinu's trademark of kindness, hospitality, to which he sanctifies Hashem's name in the world. So the Mishkan, wherein Hashem dwells, is really a miniature understanding of the Jewish people, that we have both b'damayichayi, both aspects of blood, the aspect of hardship and difficulty, the aspect of Jewish exile, the wandering Jew, so to speak, and the aspect of we are the Or LaGoyim, we are the light into the nations, the hospitality represented by Avraham Avinu, and both aspects are b'damayichayi, both represent what the Jewish people are about, and we emphasize both on the night of Seder. We speak about Halach Manya. We welcome people into our Seder. We welcome people that are in our Seder, into our hearts, into our lives. We are a people that represent this model of sensitivity, as we spoke about at length last week. And at the same time, we speak about Vayimruat Chayim, that they embittered our lives, that they created challenges for us. We eat the Mara. Both of these are the motifs of the night of Seder. And on a deeper level in Source 5, the blood is that which has been shed through Klal Yisrael's Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem and His Torah. Because generation after generation has clung to our faith in the face of persecution and death, our faith has endured. By their blood we are alive as Jews today. The schus of that blood will never be forgotten. And we need to understand this, that the night of Seder, that we are living almost on the blood, in the merit of all those who died al Kiddush Hashem. This idea that b'damayi chayi, which is the universal spilling of the blood of the Jewish people, is further reflected in a second idea, and again, as we mentioned, really is a different facet to this idea, very interesting insight of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi quotes the Psukim from Yechezkel, and then Rashi and other commentators say that these verses refer to Israel's impure state while enslaved in Egypt. The Jews were like a newborn infant, still soiled with the blood of its birth. So, Pshuto Shemikra, this blood is the blood of impurity, right? We then darshan out that it's the blood of the schus, the merit of Bris Milah and Korban Pesach. But Pshat is, this is the blood of impurity. You know, this ugly blood that we were born into. So the Beis HaLevi wants to understand, how do you reconcile both of these? This is just the opposite of simple meaning of the text. One, you're telling me the greatness of Klal Yisrael, right? Schus of Bris Milah, Dam Korban Pesach. And the other one, you're telling me it's of the impurity. That you'll be redeemed despite your impurity. So are we being redeemed despite our impurity, or are we being redeemed because of our purity? Well, which one is it? So Beis HaLevi offers a gewaltic insight, which unfortunately or fortunately we have seen throughout history. And he speaks about, there is a Psukim in Tehillim, which at first glance make no sense. The Psukim says, Kapitel Kuf Hei, praise Hashem, call out His name, publicize His deeds, we're in source number 7, among the nations. Sing out to Hashem, play music for Him. And it goes on, He made His people very numerous and made them stronger than their enemies. Great, sing out to Hashem. He turned their heart to hate His people, to conspire against His servants. So in this, that we're thanking Hashem and made us great, it's talking about one of the things we thank Hashem for is that the Egyptians hated us, that they conspired to kill us. Really? That's something to thank Hashem for? That doesn't resonate so well with us. So he says this psalm recounts in 8 the many kindnesses Hashem bestowed upon His people and taken them out of Egypt. Why then does it mention that He turned their enemies' hearts against them, implying that were not for Hashem's intervention, the Egyptians might have released the Jews earlier? First, we must explain why Hashem incited the Egyptians against the Israel altogether. The Medrash comments, they rebelled against Hashem, for they were strange children. Now the month will consume their portions. The Medrash says, when Yosef HaTzadik died, the Jews violated the covenant of Milah. They said, let us be like the Egyptians. Thereupon the Holy One, blessed be He, transformed the Egyptians' love for them into hatred. As it says, our Pasuk, He turned the heart to hate His people. So hold on a second. Really? The Jewish people didn't keep Bris Milah? The Jewish people, right after Yosef HaTzadik died, they weren't able to keep that basic idea that separated us from the nations? And the answer that the Beis HaLevi brings based on the Medrash is the following. Of course they kept Bris Milah, but what they did was they cosmetically camouflaged the wound left by circumcision immediately afterwards performed to minimize its physical effect. They thought they would have the best of both worlds. They would fulfill Hashem's mitzvah without antagonizing the Egyptians. Of course the Jews kept the mitzvah, but at the same time, they didn't want to make such a distinction between them and the Egyptians. They wanted to be part of their theaters, part of their circuses. part of the Egyptian culture. That mark of circumcision would be that mark of distinction between the two, right? One of the things the Greeks didn't want us to do for that same reason. Let's all be together. So the Jews wanted to assimilate in Egypt to become part of them. Whenever the Jews and the Aztecs try to assimilate, Hashem renews the separation by filling the hearts of the Gentiles with hatred. This incitement is ultimately to Israel's benefit, hence we sing Shir about it, as it maintains the distinction between the Jewish people and other nations. This is what is going on here. Clearly, the Egyptians' antagonism toward the Jews was meant to keep the people apart and facilitate, in the end of 10, B'nai Israel's redemption. We now understand why Tehillim depicts the turning of the Egyptians against the Jews as a manifestation of Hashem's kindness toward his people. And now we can appreciate, and here's the punchline of the Beis HaLevi. Obviously, it's much more in depth. We're just summarizing. Now we can understand why the verse repeats. I said to you, you will live through your blood. Hashem said, live through the blood of the mitzvot, Samila and Korban Pesach. Distinguish yourself through them, and there will be no need for me to incite the Egyptians against you. But the Jews sought to secure their future through their own devices. Thus Hashem declared, you will live through your blood. The Egyptians will relate to you as a bloody newborn infant, thereby ensuring your survival as a people. This is very powerful. Hashem almost says, by repeating, B'damai chayi, B'damai chayi, you have a choice. How do you want to be related? Do you want to be separate? Do you want to have mitzvot like Bris Milah, Korban Pesach that set you aside? Then B'damai chayi, B'damai chayi, you will live as Jews. And if you choose that you don't want to become unique and special and, you know, in a very public way, announce your Yiddishkeit, then B'damai chayi, you will live by your blood, but a very different type of blood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you try to assimilate, Hashem will turn the hearts of the nations against you, and it's going to be bloody. And it's through that anti-Semitism that you are going to be kept alive. Because if it weren't for anti-Semitism, we would be completely immersed and engulfed and assimilate into the nations around us. B'damai chayi, in this blood of assimilation, the blood that we just spoke about on the first level throughout history, we have been the korban, we have been the sacrifice. It's as if Hashem is saying to us on the night of Seder, you have a choice. Are you going to keep Torah and mitzvot? Then that will be the blood that will distinguish you. And if not, B'damai chayi, the nations are going to turn against you. And that is going to remind you that you are Jewish. That blood is going to be the blood of salvation for the Jewish people. And he ends. We see in our own time, again, the Beis HaLevi, how anti-Semitism is constantly intensifying countries such as Hungary, Romania. It defies logic. For just as normal phenomena dissipate over time, the protected length of the exile should have abated the burst of anti-Semitism. But the cause of the rise of anti-Semitism is just as we described. The more the Jews try to bridge a natural gap between themselves and others by abandoning the distinctive mitzvot of the Torah, the more Hashem must place an unnatural gap between them. B'damai chayi. So my friends, that forms for us idea number one for today. What was the idea of the Korban Pesach and the Bris Milah? This is what distinguishes us. These are our hallmark. And know that when one keeps those mitzvot publicly, then one, and again publicly, the Korban Pesach, they took the set, they took the lamb, right, the God of the Egyptians, 4 days before, tied it to their bedposts as public as possible. Bris Milah, as we just mentioned, is that distinguishing mark between us and the Gentiles when you're able to distinguish yourselves. So that's our goal. B'damai chayi is to live by that blood. Having said that, there is this overarching aspect that we don't understand. It's unfathomable that galus and destruction is part of the Jewish calling as a people. We can choose, however, to what extent this will be. If that's idea number one, let's now segue into the individual. That was the universal. Let's segue into the individual with an idea that's like the middle of the fulcrum. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically wanted us to do these two mitzvahs. Why? So, source number 12. The Mechilta explains, although the time had come for Hashem to redeem the Jewish people, they were bare of mitzvahs to which to merit the redemption. To this end, Hashem gave them two mitzvahs of Pesach offering a milah. This is referred to as Damayah Chayi. The Mechilta then asked, the Jewish people indeed have no merit? Have we not seen that they took pains to avoid changing their names and their language, and they did not slander each other and resisted any pressure to a physical immorality? The Mechilta responds, indeed, they had those merits, but all of the above are passive in nature, refraining from doing something wrong. This in turn allowed them to merit that they themselves did not disintegrate during the exile. In order to merit being actively redeemed, however, they needed the active merits of Pesach and Milah. The way the Sfasemes points out in source number 14, he says, we know the famous medrash of Pitchu li petach kechuda shamacha. Open for me a little opening like the eye's needle, and then I'll open for you major gateways. What did Hashem want us to do? He wanted us to be, as we just saw, active, proactive. Not just to be sheva al tasa, not just to be passive. In order to be redeemed, you have to open a petach kechudo shomacha. And it's not by accident that he says that they put this on the petach, on the doorway of their homes. That's to represent, this is the opening that they made in order to be able to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubana HaKadosh Baruch Hu yisod kol ha-ge'ula v'atara zu nekudah shepatchu b'nei Yisrael. And this is the redemption. Hashem built it on this act of the Korban Pesach and of the Bris Milah. And that is why Shabbos HaGadol is such an important Shabbos, because any mitzvah that Klai Yisrael do b'simcha, that mitzvah stays with them. That Shabbos HaGadol, taking that set. And afilu b'chol adam b'prad, in the second asterisk in 14, kishepoteach mashu petach v'etzlo kechoma yachol lavo mizeh lidei geula shleima. Also for us, sometimes we just need to have this tiny little bit of opening. We have to show Hashem that we're really serious, that this is what we want. And from that little petach will come tremendous redemption. And this is so important to remember the night of Seder. The night of Seder is about, make for me this opening. When we say these psukim, b'damayah chayi, we almost have to ask ourselves, obviously prepare beforehand, but to strengthen during the Seder night, what little opening am I going to do tonight as a result? As we'll speak about soon, Amir Hashem, of the deepened, ingrained emunah that I will gain this night. What petach am I doing? Not something big, not something great, but a leap forward, a pesach, a movement, a jumping forward. Whether it's saying Moda'ani in the morning, whether it's having Negev Asar by my bed, whether it's Kriyat Shema L'Amita, whether it's smiling at three people every day. It doesn't matter what it is. The matter is, it's an opening. It doesn't matter. It's like, you know, a house that you can't get into. If there's a tiny opening in the house, a little window, then you can crowbar it open and get in. And Rosh Baruch Hu has the greatest crowbar, so you don't have to worry. We just have to open up that window just a little bit to let him in. Doesn't matter which part of the house. It could be the attic, it could be the chimney. Doesn't matter. Let him in. Piskuli petach kechudo shamacha. What are we taking on ourselves? Something so small, tiny little opening to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu in. The other way to understand this, to describe this opening, is in understanding the Maharal, the Hebrews in number source 13. The Kevan Sha'am Yisrael Hayuz Kukim Bisman Ze Lanagan Nisi. Since Klai Yisrael needed something miraculous to take them out, so therefore Klai Yisrael had to do something miraculous, Mesiris Nefesh, Me'alot Derech HaTeva, above the normal. There's a brand new Haggadah, oh, so special, so sweet, just came out. The Nomovitzker Rebbe Zatzal, who was just nifter a few months ago, a tremendous, tremendous gadol b'Yisrael that we lost. So they put together our scroll, it's an art scroll Haggadah, they put together his some of his ideas on the Seder. Mamish, Mesuki, Midvash, reflects the godless of such a personality, of a gadol b'Yisrael in terms of greatness and in terms of chesed, which is what a gadol is all about. Source for 15. To further understand the significance of performing these mitzvahs prior to the Gula, study one of the words of the Maharal. He writes that the open nisim that Hashem did for Klai Yisrael at the time of Tziyat Mitzrayim could take place only once B'nai Yisrael had a connection to Ruchnis, since Nais is a manifestation of Hashem's power. To be the beneficiary of such a manifestation, a person must be removed from Gashmias, from physicality, and connected to Ruchnis, to spirituality. The Maharal is teaching us an important lesson. We know that the spiritual level of B'nai Yisrael at the end of Golus Mitzrayim was extremely deficient. The only way for them to be raised from the Tumah, the impurity of Egypt, was through an abundance of Rachmei Hashem, referred to in Yisrusa de La'ela, an awakening from above. The kindness of Hashem, the Maharal is revealing that to benefit even from Yisrusa de La'ela, must be worthy and qualified. If he's completely removed from spirituality, he's not able to receive that which Hashem wants to give him. So Klal Yisrael needed, right? By us, we're already on some level holding, so we just need a small opening. They needed a little bit bigger opening because they had no Torah. They were getting pure Yisrusa de La'ela, an awakening from above. They had to respond with something major. There's an enlightening word in the name of the Ramban, very famous on the Pasuk, if you provoke or disturb the love while he wants it. Iruvim tarua tavat shetechbats. The word techbats, translated as want, has the same root as chefetz, an object. This means that when someone feels a surge of love to Hashem, he should immediately transfer that love into an object. A physical, tangible mitzvah, since raw emotions have a tendency to dissipate quickly. If he does not do a mitzvah, the feelings of love will dissipate, leaving him devoid of gain. Perhaps we can use this word to explain the sequence of psukim. In the second parak of Shir HaShirim, the voice of my beloved, behold, became suddenly to redeem me as if leaping over mountains, skipping over hills. It's recounting this awakening from above, how Hashem came to redeem the Jewish people. Next page, 16, despite their not being worthy on that level. He leaped over the mountains, skipped over the hills of inadequacy. The time had come to redeem the people. There was no time to wait for the Jewish people to purify themselves before he would come and take them out. So therefore, they needed only to position themselves to be the recipients of that love. How? By fulfilling the earlier pasuk, Atche Techpat. They had to do a mitzvah, a tangible, concrete act in order to prepare themselves in some fashion to receive that love. And that is why they were told to bring the Korban Pesach and perform Bris Milah. And my friends, that's the message for us. This is both on a communal level and an individual level. Whenever something major happens, and we see this, if lo aleinu, you know, we see a lot of tragedies in a community, both, again, on a communal level or with an individual, their family, when something happens, the response has to be, we have to take something on, we have to do something. Atche techpats, there's an awakening. Sometimes the awakening can be an awakening of love. Sometimes it can be an awakening of challenges. Whatever the awakening is, there has to be a response to it. You can't just be passive. Atche techpats, the night of Seder, it's a night of awakening. It's a night where Hashem and his entourage comes down to our lives. We have to do something about it. We have to respond. You know, I just heard a story this week, and I can't, for the life of me, bring back where I heard it to try to bring back the details because I wasn't planning on sharing it, but it came into my mind. So Rosh Fadron says, if a story comes into your mind, you have to share it. So I'm sharing it, but I don't remember the story. So here it goes. A girl from Eretz Yisrael goes on her travels, you know, looking for herself. And she lands in Japan and marries a nice Japanese boy. And obviously not Jewish, yeah? She was from a very Masorati family, very, very traditional with a lowercase t. She comes back home to visit, and her mother says, you know what, why don't you put up these mezuzahs in your new home in Japan? So she feels she has nothing to lose. She does that. She puts up these new mezuzahs. And a short while later, and again, I heard the Shir in Hebrew, so now it's coming back to me where I heard this. So I don't know exactly what they were going for, but her and her husband traveled all night to be able to get to the next morning, something that you had to get to, like at, you know, wait in line at 5 in the morning. So they travel the night before, they get to the hotel around midnight, and they realize that they don't have their identification papers that they need. So they have no option. They decide that they're going to drive all the way back to their house and then drive again to get there at 5 in the morning, even though like, there are no sleep. To make a long story short, when they drive back, there is a tremendous earthquake that had they stayed in that hotel that night, they would not have been alive. When they got back to their house, all the houses around them were destroyed or damaged, and their house stood perfectly fine. This young lady understood that it must be the mezuzahs that protected them, their lives, and their house. She and her husband came to Eretz Yisrael. He was Megayer. He converted, and they're living in Eretz Yisrael, a frum Torah lifestyle. So that's what we're talking about. When something happens, you've got to do something, not just say, wow, isn't that interesting? No. How are you going to respond? The night of Pesach, okay. So you don't have to redo your life and move to Japan to Israel. But what are you going to do? What steps are we going to take? That's the message of the night. Pesach, to leap, to jump. Chad Gadya, the Gedi, at the end of the Seder. A Gedi isn't a set. It's not a lamb, it's a goat. A goat jumps, it leaps, it doesn't just walk softly. What leaps are we going to take the night of Pesach? Now, let's move, and again, as a community taking on something as individuals. Now let's move to the Dam Pesach and the Dam Mila. It's really about our relationship with Hashem. And that it's not just on a communal level, it's really very much on an individual level. V'amru Chazal, this is Rav Pinkus 17, V'dam Pesach v'dam Bila. Hashem made a covenant with us. Again, you're right, on a communal level, but with each and every one of us. Mativa Shabrita, how do we describe this covenant with Hashem? Kedushin ben Bali Shem Kritat Brit. A marriage is also a covenant, but it's not a covenant of blood, but of money. Isha Nikne Bekesef. The husband and wife come together monetarily, which means that they share their house together, they share their food together, but they have different tastes. She likes Chinese and he likes Japanese. She likes, you know, potato kugel and he likes, you know, carrot kugel, chmeis. Right? They have different tastes, but and yet they're able to get along together. But our relationship with Hashem, it's not a relationship of money, it's a relationship of blood. And it's not just that we'll have certain times that we connect and certain times we don't. It's not just enough that in the morning we daven, we give staka, and then we go off on our merry little day. No! Zoe Brit Dam, 17 in the asterisk, this is a covenant of blood. What Hashem likes is what we like. Whatever pleasures we have, it's those that Hashem wants us to have. This is a relationship of blood. It's much deeper. This is a love, ahavtat Hashem Elokecha. This love is found within us. We don't have to create this love. It's pulsating in our blood. We have to access it. We have to live it. We have to develop it. And that is to get used to serving Hashem on His terms. The Dam Pesach and the Dam Mila is about fortifying a relationship with Hashem that's an all-consuming relationship. It's the totality of who we are. That's how we have to understand. B'damayi chayi, on your blood you will live. It's going to be the blood, the Dam Brit, this blood of a covenant that enables the Jewish people to survive. The Torah Vavoda, the Torah Vedas Haggadah, quotes from Yedai Yeshur Zatzal. And he says, we find the punishment of the non-performance Korban Pesach Bris Milah's Karetz. The Ramban explains that as being cut off from the source of life, it follows that performance of this mitzvah brings closer to Hashem, brings us life, and allows the greatest bonding with Him. And that is why. What is unique about both of these? Korban Pesach, he says, represents the soul. Pesach, the mouth that speaks. The Korban Pesach represents the freedom of speech. Speech, we know, is what makes us unique from animals. It is the spiritual aspect of ourselves. This is the Ruach Mamalala. The Korban Pesach is about bonding the soul, the aspect of speech, that which makes us spiritual and unique with Hashem. From this we see that the implanting of the soul within the human being brought about the power of speech, because speech stems from the soul. At the time of the Exodus, the power of speech received its freedom. The associated Neshama as well achieved a bond with Hashem, with Ribono Shel Olam. This came about through the sacrifice of the Korban. And Bris Milah, obviously, is the bond achieved with the physical body. The concept of Bris is a formation of a nation and attachment through the covenant of Milah. B'nai Israel achieved the connection to Hashem with part of their body. So B'damai Yechayi, on the one hand, is the body and soul being completely connected to Hashem. It's a Dam Bris. It's a blood of connection. He then goes on and says, B'damai Yechayi in the Arrow 19 is repeated because they are also connected on a different level. The Bris Milah is the individual, and the Korban Pesach, albeit individuals bring it, but they bring it as family, and it has some laws that are very similar to the Korbanot Sibur, to the communal offerings. They represent the community. But Damaya Chayi on the first level is body and soul connecting to Hashem. Damaya, double plural language. But Damaya Chayi on the second, the repetition, is also plural. The communal and the individual, all of this have this deep bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know that he continues in Source 20, Rav Gedalia assures us that the Korban Pesach and the Arrow had a special capacity to bring about this closeness. It is about the idea of the Korban is, says the Zohar HaKadosh, eating at the table of the king. It managed to catapult them on a higher degree of closeness. We see the tremendous power of the Korban to draw one near to Hashem in a manner of springing forward. As we spoke about, that's our job even today. The mitzvah of Bris Milah also contains this ability to bring one close to Hashem. David HaMelech says, Sas anochi el emrasecha, kimotzei shalal rav. I rejoice at double squiggly at your word. Like one who finds great booty, is referring to the mitzvah of Bris Milah. It brings about a union with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It is a superb gift that brings about tremendous attachment to Hashem. So we have to understand when we say B'damai Chayi, B'damai Chayi, we're talking about not just how Jewish people suffered for Hashem and how we have to distinguish ourselves in our avodas Hashem. And it's not just about being able to respond to Hashem drawing us closer. Mashcheni acharecha narutza. He draws us and we respond. The Korban Pesach and the Bris Milah are bloods that represent our personal relationship with Hashem. Personal relationship with Hashem is too vague almost. The deepest imaginable, it's Dam HaBrit. Our blood, our life force, our entire being is there to connect with Ribono Shel Olam. That's the goal of the Seder night. That's the goal of beginning a relationship with Hashem. This is the night of relationship. Dam Pesach, Dam Milah, this is it. Our bloods are connected completely with the Kodesh Baruch Hu blood. As the Ben Melech from Minsberg points out, Heim Avnei HaYasov B'Kesher Shebein HaKodesh Baruch Hu L'Am Yisrael. This is the foundation that's connecting us between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. This, my friends, is what we need to think about. B'damai Chayi, B'damai Chayi. Am I living my life? That my whole blood force, my whole being is connected to Hashem. What does this mean on a more practical level? So the Knesset Yisrael, the Slobodka Chevron Haggadah, quoting Rabbi Yehuda Leib Chasman, points out in 23a and b the following. He says that the uniqueness of having to do mitzvos is our ability to show Hashem, again, as the Medrash pointed out, the Mechilta, not only passively, but actively, that we are connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. And he says that is only when a person is able to connect, in the asterisk in 23, the chelke haguf im hanefesh bekesher chazak leluke Yisrael, l'torah l'mitzvotah. It's not just about being physically connected to Hashem. It has to be emotionally connected to Hashem. You can't just walk around looking Jewish. You have to feel Jewish as well. There has to be a body-soul connection and relationship together. You have to experience this really on both levels. And he says that's why these mitzvot were chosen. At the end of 23a and the beginning of 23b, the mitzvah of Brismila is taking our taivas, our desire. That's what Brismila is about. I'm being able to take, right? And this is just a catchphrase for all of our taivas, our desires, the whole category of desires. I'm able to take my desire and I'm able to use it for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea of Brismila. I channel all that I desire, all my desires in this area for Smila, in food, in everything, toward a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Korban Pesach is giving our Amunah, being able to give ourselves intellectually, totally to Hashem. I'm ready to be Melser Nefesh for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Nesiva Shalom echoes this idea where he says so clearly in the bracket in 24, he says, you need to have some type of pocket, some type of pouch to be able to take this tremendous light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, this tremendous light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not only in Egypt, in life. How are you able to take all the spirituality and make sure that you're living a life as a Torah Jew? And he says these are the two yesodos that Judaism has, Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. Dehainu emuno shmiras priest kodesh, heima nartikim lishmor kol derash mekdusha, shaloi shaltu b'machitzonim. We need to have tara, we need to have purity in our lives. And we need to have emuna in our lives. We need to have the ability to give ourselves over completely to Hashem. That's the challenge that all of us have. And it's interesting, he notes at the beginning of 24, he says, and this is so, so insightful in general, ukemamar maran yusode avodas chutoy galenu, shetara ef shar lakor besichliot. To really be able to make sure that we don't go down to the 49th level of Tumah, it wasn't enough just to not do these things. And it's not just enough to know intellectually, yeah, I believe in God. Ki ara hu koach pa'il b'dam hadam. Evil, our negative inclination, our negative desires, they're our blood force. They pop up all the time. Ve'orech. Double underline. What an idea. What is found in our blood force, our mind can't change. And you see this. So many people know intellectually, speaking Lashon Hara, oh my gosh, you have no chelik in the next world. Oh my gosh, the list is so long. How can we speak Lashon Hara? Because we have a desire to speak it. We know intellectually it's wrong. Keep in mind this line. What's found in our blood force, intellectual knowledge alone isn't going to help. Which is emuna and nashkocha prati. You need to be able to knock blood with blood. And the blood of the Dam Pesach is the blood of Hashkocha Prati, of Hashem jumping over the houses that have the door, blood on the door. How Jews are ready to sacrifice themselves for the Bris Kodesh, for being Jewish, as well as using their taivas to be able to serve Hashem. You can't redeem your soul with only with intellectualism. Wow. We're sitting at the Seder table. You think it's just enough to have an intellectual experience tonight? No. Pesach. A person has to be Moser Nefesh. As Be'er Chaim says on the next page in 25, U'mevater Ritzonotav. You have to go over your desires. You not follow your taivas. And every person on whatever level they are to give over to Hashem. Rabosai, this is what it's about. B'damaya chayi, b'damaya chayi. How do we live in our blood? Not just in Yecheskel and Mitzrayim, us. We have to be proactive to do something, to say, I'm going to push myself a little bit. I'm going to stop before I drink my first coffee in the morning and say the bracha out loud. I'm even going to try to find someone to answer on me. I'm going to be moser myself. I'm going to give myself over. I just want to drink that coffee. Who needs a time? What's the time to just gulp down that coffee? No, b'damaya chayi. What, Mitzirus Nefesh, are we giving to Amunah? If I know us, Hashem is there. Do I at least have the Karas HaTov, the thankfulness to be able to appreciate that cup of coffee? What steps are we taking to be able to get to that place? And the night of Seder is a night that has to impact us both intellectually as well as emotionally. Sing at your Seder. Involve people. Eating that matzah, it's not just an intellectual experience, drinking that wine. As Pinchas says, four cups of wine, which are the passion, represents the emotions throughout different parts of the Seder. When I drink that wine or that grape juice, I feel emotionally, I try to open that part of me connected to Ribbono Shel Olam, red wine. Because the night of Seder is, of course, about Hamanti Ki Adaber, of speaking, V'cholam Marber is the Meshubah. But it's more than speaking, it's experiencing. And the night of Seder has to transform us. It has to make us into different people. It has to make that Amunah part of us, that our response is. When I say, B'damaya Chayi, B'damaya Chayi, I'm talking about my own life, that this is how I'm going to live. What dam am I ready to give? What Mesiris Nefesh and Mesiris Taiva that I'm ready to give over to Ribbono Shel Olam? And indeed, as we've seen before, in the Tiva Mo'adim, Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz, he says, Chag HaPesach in 26, Hu Chag HaMunah. The Tzavashai, the Ber Harbe al Amunah, to speak about Amunah, and it's a mistake that people make. That Amunah, oh yeah, I learned about it when I, at some point in 10th grade, you know, I had a Jewish philosophy class, that's enough. No! Amunah is a lo davar shebedieved, shamashu sheshama alav pam, not something you heard one day. Im Amunah tzarich lichyot, b'machshavo, b'tfuna, yom yom sha'a sha'a. Amunah is something you have to take on at all times in your life. He says, of course, people, you know, work on anger and gaiva and all these different aspects. But the bottom line, that if like the, again, that beam that holds everything together is Amunah. If I really believe, then I know that this person isn't hurting me and that I shouldn't be jealous of this person. Everything has a time and place. If I really believed, if I really ate that matzah, the matzah's michla demnusa, the bread of faith, I would suddenly see that everything is a perfect orchestra. The night is called Seder. It's Seder HaMunah. Everything has a time and place. You know, I just had that very recently. I was speaking to a girl. Should she go back? Should she not? They don't know if they leave to America, they'll ever come back, whether they'll be allowed into the country, whether they're not. And nobody knows, right? It's a wild card. So the girl was telling me what she wanted to go home, and she had very good reasons why to go home. And then we're talking about what it would be like to stay. And after an hour, it's okay, an hour, she finally said, you know what, Mrs. Wiles, I'm a person with anxiety by nature. And we have a few weeks off, and I have to find what to do, and where to go for Pesach, and I have to make all these plans. And as an anxious person, I think this is too much for me. And then she says, but if I realize that this is what is difficult for me, then I can deal with it. I'm able to, like, you know, give it a name. And then at the end of the conversation, and she's staying, Mirza Hashem, she said to me, Mrs. Wiles, can you recommend books on Amunah? I think that if my Amunah was stronger, my anxiety would also lessen. And she hit it on the nail on the head. Of course she has to work on her anxiety, no doubt about it. But work on it also within the context of Amunah. And part of it, in 28, is the Chapeis Chesed Hashem B'chol Davar. L'chein olim l'sagel machshvotenu l'rov v'lavchim b'yad Hashem yistaterem acharei kol davar gashmi. This is the Ramban, to be able to believe that everything that happens to us is a miracle. Ein b'hem teva min hagosh sholam. Nothing is natural. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind every single thing that happens in this world, and our job is to be able to uncover it. HaKol tzav v'shalom 29 at every step of the way. The night of the Seder is about Hashgacha Prati. Tell as many Hashgacha Prati stories as you can. Right? Night of Amunah, Rabbi Pruzansky. Touched by Seder by Rabbi Spiro. All of these have great stories. Share the story. Awaken the people to the fact that Hashem just didn't take us out then. He's involved intimately in our lives right now. And this is what we need to speak about, to open ourselves up, to be able to reach this aspect, as the Sfasema speaks about in 30, Shebechol Pesach Chul Pesach, every night of Pesach, Yechol Adam Likpoz, a person can jump Shelo Bahadraga in levels that normally take, you know, mini steps. Nothing's going to block you. You can run. Tonight, Mashcheni Acharecha Narutza, V'yanei Melech Adarav, we run after Hashem, we come into His chambers. And we know the night of Pesach was the night, U'b'chein Avol HaMelech Asher Lo Kadat, that Esther Amalka goes into the king without permission. It's a night to enter into the greatest and innermost chambers. National level, the blood of Jewish history, it's the blood that has enabled us to survive. We have the choice. Are we going to have the Dam Pesach, Dam Mila, or are we going to have the Dam of anti-Semitism to keep us who we are? We have to realize that in life, when Hashem wants to give us something, when there's some type of Yisroelus awakening, Yitzhak Mitzrayim is deafening a night of awakening. Achitechpat, we have to make a chefetz. We have to make some type of vessel to receive it. We can't just passively take it in, because then we're not going to be different. As Rav Pinkus says, if you don't wake up the next morning, morning of Pesach, in a different mindset. So what have you accomplished? It's limited. The night of Pesach, we have to live b'damai chayi, recognize that our relationship with Hashem is in our blood. And we're wired in our blood for all these negative midos. And we have to make the love of Hashem, the mesiras nefesh to Hashem, also part of our blood. That is not just an intellectual relationship with Hashem. It has to be a blood relationship with Hashem. It has to be our nefesh. It has to be our soul. It has to be an emotional connection with Hashem. And this is the night of Seder. It's the night of Emunah. It's a night to feel Hashem's tremendous love for us. And our night, b'damai chayi, is we have to respond. What am I doing? What blood? What peta? What opening? What little window am I going to open that I'm going to, you know, it's going to take a little bit out of me? To put the neck of us by my bed is schlepping. To say, Kriyat Shema L'mitzvah, I'm so tired. It's Mesiras Nefesh. Not, you know, not dying Al Kiddush Hashem, living Al Kiddush Hashem. You know, stopping and smiling at people. Who has time to smile and ask people how they are? Three people. This is what it's about. It's about living a Torah Judaism. This is what it's about. You know, it reminds me, it has nothing to do with anything. Again, I don't know why I'm sharing this. It came to my mind. I was telling my 19-year-old daughter that somebody gave me a link that you can shop online. That way you don't have to shop. I just went yesterday with her. I couldn't even get a carriage. There was no carriages by the time we went. We had bags. And it was really schleppy, and it was a pain in the neck. And I said, wow, this is going to solve all my problems. So I told her this. Boy, did I get a speech. Ima, do you recognize when you go to the store, you can appreciate the vegetables that Hashem has, the colors that Hashem has? How do you see that online? You're missing out on opportunities to thank Hashem for all the bounty He's given. You meet so many people in the store. You have so many opportunities to speak to people, to, you know, to interact, to build people up. And you're going to do this sitting online? So this is what it's about. So we schlep a little bit, but do you know what you gain from not shopping online? The jury's out, my friend. I haven't decided. 31. What is unique about Pesach, Dam Pesach, and Dam Mila? So I'd like to just highlight two ideas, and we'll end with a punchline because the hour is late. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in 31 says, why is it repeated, b'damaya chayi, b'damaya chayi? One is referring to that the Jewish people in that merit were redeemed from Egypt, and b'damaya chayi, and in this merit, they'll be redeemed in the future redemption. The Sefer Bayam Derech in 32 and 30 through 34 develops what does Pesach and Bris Milah have in common? And he says Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every Bris, And Pesach, we have the fifth cup. We open the door for Shvocha Matcha, for Eliyahu Navi. We sing Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi was somebody who lived in this world, but also lived in the next world at the same time. He was a Ben Olam Haba. He was like Nitzchi. He was eternal. The fact that both Pesach and Bris Milah, not doing them, has the punishment of Kares, which is the only two mitzvahs, I'll say, that have the punishment of Kares, right? Only positive mitzvahs. If you don't do them, Bris Milah and Kurban Pesach, you have Kares, means being cut off in this world. The flip side is, if you do these mitzvahs, you will live in this world. And you'll live in this world like in Eliyahu HaNavi, which is living in this world with the dimension of the next world in this world. These mitzvahs are almost mitzvahs that carry the reward of the next world in this world. They transport you to higher levels of relationship with Hashem. We have to use the Pesach experience, albeit we don't have Korban Pesach. We do have the Pesach experience as like beaming us up into another dimension. We have to understand this. But it goes deeper than that. The Sefer Yesev Yisach brings from Menachem Mendel Miriminov, a famous Hasidic Rebbe, where he says there's something else that the two have in common. And that is, both of them have simcha, joy, and rejoicing connected with them. We know, we just spoke about the pasuk by David HaMelech of that he rejoiced with the Bris Milah. And we know the pasuk, that's pasuk in Tehillim, and we know that Chazal speak about Lehudim Haisa Or V'Simcha V'Sosam Yikar, and they darshan out each one, Or V'Zu Torah, Simcha Zu Yantif, Yikar is Tefillin, and Sason is Milah. That Sasa Nochi Elim Rasecha Kimotze Shalal Rav, that is, David Mel says, it's a Bris Milah. Bris Milah is connected with Sason Zu Milah, with joy. And Pesach, Kori Mela Hallel, we've spoken about this in years past, that there's an inyan of singing Hallel over the Korban Pesach, also rejoicing. And he says the following, Umeet Hashem Haitaso Lubavur Hivyam L'simcha Dola. Why did Hashem give us these two mitzvahs? Because both these mitzvahs bring us to tremendous joy. Ki atzarich li vasha min hameikim v'mitzarim. If you have to be saved from challenges in life, whether it's in Tziat Mitzrayim, or individual challenges, or collective challenges. Sarich liyo b'simcha lasus b'Hashem v'lismoch b'shuato. Focus in on the joy of all that Hashem does for you. To appreciate all the goodness Hashem does for you. She'muftach b'chesed al yonah shelo yavoshu kavav. And really believe that Hashem is never going to let you down. Sha'atzvos u'matzach mavdil beinam levein elokeihem. Sadness is what breaks between you and God. She'ne'emar oz v'chedva b'mkomo. You want to reach the greatest height, it's oz v'chedva. And we know many stories, just to share one. A person who was in a car accident and had loss of hearing in one ear, but then had all these problems with the ear infections, the chule, went to America, and they said, you know, the best thing to do is just to take off the, take out the nerve in the ear, and that way you won't have ear infections. Shortly before the operation, he goes into shul, and he starts just thanking Hashem for all that he does have, and appreciate all that he has, and he focuses on all the good that he has. And then he says to Hashem, you know, I'm asking you to give me a refuah here as well. Right before the operation, they do a more hearing test. And the doctor comes running in and says, like, Yaval, we almost took out that nerve. You have 80% hearing in that ear. And there's story after story when you thank Hashem and then ask, it's coming from a place not of sadness, but a place of joy. Joy breaks down all the barriers. And we know, you know, personally, somebody just recommended this Sfarim for me. They're tiny pamphlets. The Key to Miraculous Salvations by Mrs. Friedman. If you want to buy yourself a Pesach present, buy these books. You want to buy yourself an even greater Pesach present, do the exercises in these books. They are absolutely stupendous. I give it a 10 rating. The Key to Miraculous Salvations. And in there, she speaks about the aspect of positivity. And she says in 37, throughout our lives we may face with challenges. We then pour out our hearts to Hashem and hope for Yeshua. Yet at times, even if we daven earnestly, it seems the situation is getting worse. We need to know that Hashem wants to send us a Yeshua. He first tests us through making the situation more difficult. If we withstand the challenges and accept it lovingly, then Hashem will take them away. Then Hashem will take away the nisayon. It's about looking at perspective. Everything is good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we see this? And that's part of the night of Seder. Part of the night of Seder is to appreciate Hallel, Hakara Satov, for all that Hashem does for us. We have to have the mindset. Yes, matzah is a time to daven after you eat matzah, gevaldik time. But you eat matzah after you said Hallel. First, thank Hashem for all that He's done before asking. Which leads us to our final point in the minute or so that we have left or don't have. There's another understanding of the Damaya Chayi. Rabbi Spiro brings down by touch by our story. The Kleisenberger Rebbe, Rabbi Kusiel Yehuda Haberstab, who lost his entire family, his wife and 11 children in the war, his entire universe was no longer. With incredible fortitude, he built his life, rebuilt the lives of thousands of others. People turned to him for advice, etc. One year at the Pesach Seder, when he was already living in the United States, he came to the words B'damaya Chayi. The Rebbe launched into a powerful and meaningful drasha. He explained the word B'damaya can have two meanings, blood, which is a basic explanation, and silence, as in Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron was silent. The Rebbe then raised his voice and said, on this holy night, we sit together, we speak about the greatness of the Jewish people, how they accept upon themselves the yoke of our exile with total trust in the Almighty. The Almighty says, I know that you have endured some of the most horrific atrocities man has ever seen. I saw you wallowing in your blood. Misposesa b'damayich. Bar va'omar lach, I can tell you, b'damayich chayi, b'damayich chayi. Your whole life is filled with spilled blood and sacrifice in the name of Hashem. But even so, you accept it all in silence and love, without complaint. The Rebbe confirmed that he witnessed this uncompromising faith in the darkest moments of death camp, and he said, Hashem witnessed all of this as well. With that, he concluded, we hope that soon a Bako will comfort us with the coming of Mashiach. B'damaya chayi, when we're able to understand that everything comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu is chesed, when I understand the love of the evening, when I understand the Amunah, when I understand that I have a dam bris with Hashem, that we are completely connected, that doesn't mean I need to understand everything, it means that I'm ready to accept everything, like I would accept it with a spouse as well, to be able to know that we have each other's best interest in mind. Then, b'damaya chayi, when you're able to accept even the challenges, b'damayich, saying, gamsu l'tova, kol da'avid rachman l'tova avi, whatever Hashem does is for the good, it's for the best. Then, b'damayich chayi, that vayidom, that silence, that acceptance, that in itself makes a person worthy of chayus, of life force. And with that, my friends, I wish all of us a chakasha v'sameach, that we should be successful in taking that leap forward and finding that little petach, that little opening, that indeed each and every one of us can say with our own dam, b'damaya chayi, b'damaya chayi, we're going to live a deeper chiyus, love relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu.